You can imagine, if you know me well, you realize that I'm the most impatient person on the earth. And so I keep wanting to make this happen where we can get back together in the building. And yet when I pray, the Holy Spirit keeps saying, "Hey, Brad, relax. Hey, Brad, relax." So I really believe that's a word for some of my best friends out there too. You know who you are. Come on, that was funny. I'll let you laugh. You'll catch up here. Many of us are in a hurry when God says wait. And I want you to understand, we're going to get into my series here in just a minute, but what God is telling us to wait on is what He is doing. So our eyes so easily get stuck on what's going on in the world and the natural circumstances around us. And one of the things I'm going to talk about today in this message is that what's going on in the unseen realm, the spiritual realm, and I don't mean to be weird by that, but here's the statement. What we cannot see, like the Spirit of God, like the presence of God, is much more powerful and real than what we can see with our eyes. So we spend so much time looking at the natural circumstances like coronavirus, like economic conditions, like the weather, all these things, instead of falling to our knees, so to speak, and letting the eyes of our heart be open so that we can see what God is doing in this season of time. And every time I come to my knees, and every time I come to a place of prayer, what I realize is God is doing something amazing in our hearts. So my word to so many of you is this right now: be patient, God is working. Let us choose to just relax and allow the Spirit of the living God, as it says in the book of Isaiah, it says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And you know, Jesus told his disciples after he had left and he was about to ascend into heaven, he said, wait, because the promise of the Father is going to come to you. We're going to talk about that more today. But before I go on, you know, as we have promised you, tomorrow we're going to make a decision. After we listen to the governor's report, we're going to make a decision about how we go forward physically returning to the building. We are praying more than just to have wisdom. We want to hear a clear word from God for us and our church. And so many we know, some other churches are already opening up, and we thank God for that, and we believe that they're hearing God for their group and their congregation, and that's all we want to do. And so I invite you to pray with us that over the next 24 to 48 hours, we'll be able to make a decision not based on our own thoughts and our own common sense, but we'll make a decision based on what the Holy Spirit speaks to us as a church and what He wants for us. And if you'll agree with me in that, I would certainly appreciate it. I know so many of you are praying and believing. I want you to know this isn't going to last forever. That's the one thing we know for sure. And every day that passes by, that's one day closer to us returning to public gatherings here in our beautiful facility. Now, I've talked about this, I think, just about every week. This is our ninth week in the corona quarantine, however you want to say it. It's our ninth week in being away from each other and being social distance and all these things. And you know, the statistics are amazing. God has really protected the state of Texas in particular, and we're grateful for that. And we continue to pray for a complete cure and eradication of this virus. Now, in the meantime, I want you to understand that John 14:27, Jesus said this to his disciples, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you." He said, not as the world gives do I leave it with you, but my peace is different. My peace endures all circumstances. My peace is not based on the world around you and your five senses. My peace is based on the Spirit of God working in you. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So some of us, I've heard people say this over and over and over, I'm going crazy. Well, God's not making you crazy. God's given you a sound mind. So I want you to remember these things as we continue to process forward understand what God is doing is not the same as what the stock market is doing. What God is doing is not the same as what the CDC is doing. God allows and utilizes all of these institutions to bring blessing to the earth, but God is greater and his kingdom is greater. And we were instructed thousands of years ago now by Jesus himself to pray that the kingdom of heaven would come to the earth just like it is in heaven. Like, there's no disease in heaven. There's no fear in heaven. There's no outbreak of viruses in heaven. So we continue to pray and believe that the power of heaven comes to earth, and we live in the tension, church. We live in the tension, get used to it, of the now and the not yet. The kingdom is coming, the kingdom arrives, the kingdom feels like it's not here yet, but we are agents, ambassadors, and citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and our job is to step out of fear and into faith. Here, step out of fear, step into faith. Now, can you do that with me? Let's pray over that right now. God, we choose today, to step out of fear, step into faith. We choose today not to be like those who are perishing, but we are those who have salvation working in our hearts and in our bones. God, we're like those who have the Word of God thriving inside of us. So awaken us, God, to your Word. Awaken us, oh God, to the truth of who you are, and allow us to walk in that perfect peace that you promised. And it's in Jesus' name we say. And if you agree with me out there, say it loudly, amen. Come on, say it again, amen. You know what amen means? It means so be it, or let it be just as you have said. So when we say a prayer and we believe it and we agree, we say amen, because we say, so be it, God, let it be just as us, as according to what we just prayed in faith. So we're going to make our declaration. It'll be right here next to me on the screen. You ready? Say it loud and say it proud. As soon as it came, here I am. I am covered by and submitted to the blood of Jesus. This has become our theme throughout this time of social distancing and quarantine, or whatever you want to call it. This has been our theme, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus and we're submitted to his blood. And so today I'm going to start a 3-week series, and it's entitled Empowered. Guys, you're going to love this series. I'm telling you right now, if you're a believer in Christ today, get ready to jump out of your skin, because we are going to step into what Jesus promised us over the next 3 weeks. Part one, the promise of the Father. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he spent 40 days with his followers. He appeared to them in various ways. The Bible says that he spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God. And so he gathered his disciples together after 40 days, and he gave them his final instructions before he was about to exit and go back to heaven. Here's his final instruction, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Now, you ready? Open up your Bible and open up your heart to receive the word of God. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. You hear that word, wait? That's what God's been saying to me. But to wait for what? Say it with me, the promise of the Father. Let's say it again. The promise of the Father, which he, Jesus, said, you have heard from me. So what's Jesus telling his disciples right here? He's saying, I'm going to give you the promise of the Father. This is the thing that I've been speaking to you. This is the thing that I've been talking about all these times in all these different ways. And this morning, church, we're going to revisit some of those most important scriptures of how Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he told them what the promise of the Father really is. So then he moves on down into Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and he says this. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, I want to go back and contextualize this. We'll leave the scripture on the screen, but I want you to understand how this would apply to us. See, we are believers today. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, just like the disciples 2,020 years ago, waiting as Jesus commanded them. Here we find ourselves in a similar situation where he says, wait for the promise of the Father. And what is the promise of the Father? It's right here in Acts 1:8. It says, you'll receive power. Say power. I got to hear it louder out there, kids. Yes, power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So this is a very distinct instruction from Jesus. Wait for the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, that doesn't have to be something weird or scary. It's very easy to understand. It's right there in plain English. You'll receive power from the Holy Spirit. It just means the Holy Spirit will touch you in a personal and powerful way. And then it says, when you receive that, you're going to do something you've never done before. You're going to have a boldness to be a witness. What's a witness? You think about a trial when somebody's called to be a witness. What is that? A witness is someone who tells what they have seen, someone who gives a report of what they have experienced. And so now these disciples who were scared to death, afraid of the government, afraid of culture, afraid of their future, when the Spirit came upon them, as he's predicting, and we'll see in the next couple of weeks exactly what happened. If you want to get ahead of me, you go ahead and read through the book of Acts, and you'll see what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But I want to stay focused right here on the point of the promise of the Father. There's a point here. So that you can have the power to be a witness. So many people say, well, I'm just so afraid to share my faith with others. I don't know how to do these things. You don't need to think it through. You need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. See, and what does it say then? It says, you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem. So let's contextualize that. Both in Plainview and West Texas and the United States and to even the remotest parts of the world. Man, isn't that exciting? If we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit, if we'll just submit to it, say, okay, I'm not sure exactly what this looks like, but I trust the Father, and this is the promise of the Father, then I'm just going to say, bring it on, Dad. Can you say that? You don't have to. Okay, bring it on, Dad. I want some more. We want some more. We want some more. Oh, come on. Can you feel that, church? Well, if you can't, I do for you right now. Power to be a witness. See, I think what's kind of hung people up, I'm going to sit down and talk for a minute. What's hung people up on this idea of the power of the Holy Spirit for so many years is that people don't understand the reason why. See, there's God does nothing without a reason. He doesn't just do things arbitrarily. God has a purpose and a plan, and he's always moving in a powerful, purposeful direction. So when he wants believers not to just believe in Jesus and receive eternal life, then he wants to empower you to go and be a part of the work of Jesus. Because, see, Jesus doesn't work in the earth today outside of people. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants, that God can go and minister to people all by himself, but I would say at least 95 to 99% of the time, the way God works is through other people. Would you all agree with me on that? I mean, most of you who know Jesus today, you receive Jesus because some other person shared Christ with you, whether it was through a sermon or a friend or a family member, and they introduced you to the goodness and the love of God. Somebody was part of that equation because that's the way God works. But listen, If we want to take this from Plainview to West Texas to the United States to the remotest parts of the earth, guess what we're going to need? Power. We're going to need power. You can't accomplish the mission of Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples. You cannot do it without power. And I've personally seen so many people fall away because they got excited, but they didn't wait until they received the power to go forth in the ministry. And so that's why so many pastors burn out. That's why so many ministers fall into sin, because they didn't wait to get the power. And I'm just talking about people like me, but what about you? What about normal people? Because I know I'm not normal. You can't be normal, do a job like this. What about normal people? We know so many people who get fired up for Jesus, and then what happens? It's like, where did they go? They didn't wait to receive the power. Now, I said I was going to sit back and talk, and I just sat down and preached. So I really want to try to talk to you about something that's really personal and a little bit painful. 25 years ago, in April, is when I started coming to Harvest. And in that time, I was drawn to this church because people were talking about this very topic. There were people teaching and preaching and modeling the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And so I was very attracted to that. But kind of what my story is I was so frustrated. I was so frustrated with the tradition that I had grown up in, because nobody modeled for me or taught me about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I came into this really, really excited because I wanted more. And I wanted to fulfill the call of God in my life. And what I think happened to me, well, I don't think, I know. I got off in the flesh in the fact that I got frustrated with where I came from rather than grateful that I had been saved and taught the Word of God. And see, that's carried with me a lot of seasons, and I've tried to let that go, and I've tried to repent, and I've tried to say, God, I'm sorry. But as I was preparing for this series, I had just a couple of moments where I just said, God, I am so sorry, because where I thought I had let go of my frustration, where I thought I had repented of my sarcastic attitude, God just said, you haven't let go yet, Brad, and you have hindered people from receiving the promise of the Father because you've had an attitude. So I want to ask you to forgive me. Whoever I may have hindered, man, please forgive me, because I've letting go of all of my frustrations and all of my angst and attitude. And I just said, God, I just want people, I want to serve from a pure heart. I don't want to carry around frustration and pain from the past. And I don't know if any of you can relate to what I'm saying today, but I want to be able to deliver this message from a place of purity and just love for God's people. And so I just want to pray over that right now. God, if there's any way that I've hurt people by the way that I have ministered this word and truth about the power and the promise of the Father, God, I just ask that you would allow there to be a release from that right now. That this frustration that I've carried, that I know you have relieved me from when I came to you and asked you this last week, God, to relieve me completely. I feel so free. And God, if anybody out there has encountered someone like me who tried to bring them this truth, but it had a lot of frustration or attitude, would you just release them from that today and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move through this message and accomplish what only you can do through this word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I feel better. I got that off my chest. The promise of the Father is this: all believers can be completely covered in the power of God. That's good news, church. The promise of the Father. See, I don't think most people, once they've come into the church and once they've been introduced to who God is through the scripture and through the witness of the church community, most people have been able to detach from earthly father and embrace heavenly father and just say, oh, I'm so grateful for the love of the Father. I'm so grateful to be accepted in the Beloved. Now, what I want you to understand, the Father is in the Holy Spirit. The Father was in the Son. And we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. But see, all believers can be completely covered in the power of God, and the power of God comes through the present work of the Holy Spirit. So I would say it this way, you can be empowered in the Holy Spirit. So I want you to understand, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. Simply, three expressions of one God. Let me say it again. I want you to understand that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one God. There we go. One God. Three expressions of one God. It's called the Trinity. I can't go into that complete teaching right now, but in John 14, it's going to be on the screen next to me, 16 through 20, we're going to read how Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and it's so important. You may not catch it right now, so mark this down or take a picture of the screen. John 14, 16 through 20. You need to meditate on this all throughout the week until you get the fact deep all the way down to your toenails that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And when you get that revelation, what is a revelation? Something gets revealed to you or you understand it deeper. When you receive that, I believe then and only then can you just chill out and let the Holy Spirit come upon you. Because see, having the Holy Spirit come upon me changed my life completely. 25 years ago, I came here addicted to a lot of things. I was full of guilt. I wanted to serve God, but I couldn't get there because I was so trapped in the darkness of my sin. I would come and serve God on Sunday, sin on Monday. You know, any of you relate to that? I think a lot of people do. And see, I had the Holy Spirit living in me, but I did not have the power of the Holy Spirit working upon me and through me. And once I received the empowering of the Spirit, I was able to lay aside the sin which so easily entangled. I was able to run the race with joy. So I can tell you happily for 25 years, I've been free from sin. Does that mean I never sin? No, every once in a while I occasionally, unintentionally sin. But when I got here 25 years ago, I was intentionally planning sin every day in my life, except on Sunday. Because I was religious. You relate? I think some of you do. And so what I want you to understand is the empowering of the Spirit is for your benefit. And then once you receive that benefit and you are no longer under the guilt and the condemnation and the fear of all your bad choices and you've actually been empowered to step into who you really are, guess what happens? Then you can be my witness, as he said, into all of Plainview and West Texas and the United States and even the remotest parts of the earth. See, I know so many of you, when I say that, your heart says, yes. But if you've not received the power of the Holy Spirit yet, you can't do what your heart wants to do. So I encourage you to pray and to wait and to let God do his work in you. So John 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this, I will ask the Father, which we're all good with the Father, right? I'll ask the Father, and he will give you a helper. And you're going to find out here later, the helper is the Holy Spirit. And he may be with you forever, that the Spirit of truth, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And then he says this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will also live in that day. Let's stop right there. What did Jesus just say? Hey, guys and gals. I'm about to leave. He's talking to them. He's preparing them for the ascension. What's the ascension? After he went to the cross, he was buried. 3 days he rose again. He hung out with them for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven. He was preparing them for that moment, saying, when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come. They had to wait approximately 10 more days until the day of Pentecost, and that's when the Spirit came to them. But what is Jesus saying here? He said in verse 19, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. What does that mean? He's leaving. You'll see him because he and the Holy Spirit are one. They're the same. And so you can't see the Holy Spirit with your eyes, but you can see him with the eyes of your heart. You can sense him with the internal witness of the Spirit inside of you. Now he goes on in verse 20 and says, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Let me tell you what he's telling them. Hey, guys and gals, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're all the same dude, okay? We're all the same God. So for all of you who've been a Christian forever and you're like, I don't understand this Godhead thing. I don't understand this Trinity thing. Jesus explains it right here in John 14, 16 through 20. If you can't receive it yet, just keep reading it and praying over it all week long. There's nothing more important in your life this week. Your job's not more important. Your family's not more important. The circumstances are not more important. There is nothing more important in your life this week than John 14, 16 through 20. You need to understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, and you need to receive the fullness of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, simply three expressions of one God. The Holy Spirit is no different than the Father and the Son. Now, what are we going to do with all this? Well, whatever you want to, but here's what I suggest. The promise of the Father is this: all believers can be completely covered in, say power, the power of God. So if you read there in Acts chapter 1, it's very simple. He says, this is the promise of the Father. You're going to be covered completely in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power, and then you can go do the work of God in the world. And so I want to talk to you about this empowered Holy Spirit life, and I want you to understand, see, God is always and has always been Spirit. See, isn't it interesting? I want you to think with me. Think real hard right now. Have you ever seen God the Father? No, because he sent God the Son to the earth. And so we so easily connect with Father because that has a human attribute. Oh, I get it. I know what a father is. It's some dude who helped my mom get pregnant, and then now he helped raise me, right? I mean, are y'all out there with me? That we know what the Father is naturally. We know what the Son is naturally, because we go, oh, I'm a son, but I came from my mother and father, and that makes real sense to me, so I can accept God the Father, I can accept God the Son, but then when you say God the Holy Spirit, everybody kind of puts the brakes on and says, wait a minute, I don't know how to attach a human attribute to the Spirit, and so it boggles your mind. But it doesn't have to. Because see, this Father, you never met him. This Jesus, you never met him either. Did you know that if you're a Christian in the last 2,020 years, that you met Jesus through the Holy Spirit? Oh, man, I feel better now. Thank you, God. Now I'm starting to get this thing. The only way that I've ever known God is through the Spirit. Conceptually, it seemed to have a hook in my brain that it could hang on called Father, or it could hang on called Son. Hey, hang the Holy Spirit on the same hook in your brain because they're all the same. I hope this is helping. I believe God wants it to help you. John 4, verse 24 says this, God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Matthew 4, verse 17 says this, from that time, this is right after Jesus was in the wilderness. Now, you're going to have to jump back in time with me just a little bit. From the time that Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan, he came out victorious. And it said right here, Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which simply means it's right here. You can reach out and grab it. Another way to say that would be this. Change your way of thinking, for the realm of eternity is within your reach. Think about this, church. Or heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible. Oh. Is anybody out there getting it? If not, watch the live stream again. Because at some point, you're going to see these two things on the screen right here next to me, and you're going to go, I get it. When Jesus said the kingdom is at hand, he said the realm of heaven is now accessible to me. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Get ready for the ride. Jump in the roller coaster, baby. It's going to be a good one. This is better than the Texas Giant. It's thrill after thrill. Hills and valleys, but sustained speed. I mean, come on. Ain't nobody getting my jokes today. It's good stuff, though. Me and the Holy Ghost are having a good time, and I hope you're there with me. So stay with me. God is spirit. Jesus said the kingdom is here. You're going to have to grab a hold of it. And what is he telling you? God is spirit. His kingdom is in the realm of the spirit, and it's in the realm of the unseen. And we cannot see what we cannot see is more real than what we can see. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in the spirit realm, but they're more real than what you can see with your eyes. Oh Lord, may the people of God receive the truth of God today. See, we're just like the disciples, those early followers of Jesus. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit if we're gonna do what God's called us to do. We need to let go of our natural thinking. We need to embrace the power of the Spirit upon us. Because see, the promise of the Father is that all people who believe in Jesus can be completely covered in the power of God. Would you stand with me, church? I'm ready to lead you into an experience with the Holy Spirit like you've never experienced before. I believe as we let go of our need to understand, see, if you leave your brain in charge of your faith, you'll never come to faith. Because faith is beyond human understanding. Now, once you submit to Jesus and receive the power of the Holy Spirit, then your brain becomes a servant of the Spirit of God within you, and that intelligence that you're so full of will become put to good use. See, sometimes our mind and our inability to understand is our biggest enemy in the kingdom of God. So we need to relax today, church. I'm not telling you to stop thinking. I'm telling you to relax and let your thinking take a break for just a minute. And let the present work of the Holy Spirit come upon you. And all of those who know what I'm talking about today, you just be in prayer for those who've never received the power of the Holy Spirit. Because all believers can come to complete faith and can be completely covered in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us who believe in Jesus are desperately in need of the power of God today.